message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a real blessing and a help to you. It's our desire to teach the Word of God on this broadcast in such a way that you can come to understand the Bible, so that you can enjoy the Word of God, so that if you understand it and enjoy it, then it'll do its own work. The Bible says, Paul talks to the Thessalonians about how he thanked God for them, that they received the Word of God which they heard of Him, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God that effectually works in you that believe. And you know, my friend, if you'll just take God's Word and let it be what it is, and just study it for what it is, and let it be your teacher, and believe the things that God says in His Word, and let the words on the page in a King James Bible make a difference in your life, they'll do that. They'll change. They'll transform your life. They'll make a difference if you let them. The Bible's not hard to understand. The Bible's hard to believe. It's hard to believe because so often it goes against what we want to think and say. But it's not that hard to understand because God gives us a prescribed way of understanding His Word. He teaches us how to understand it. In Paul's epistles, there's an expression that he uses at least six times. He talks about, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And I heard a fellow say many years ago that ignorant brethren is the world's largest denomination. And I have to agree, he's probably right. But it shouldn't be so. You and I should not be ignorant brethren. There is a comma between the two words. We shouldn't be ignorant. You see, your Christian life, my Christian life, will not operate on the basis of ignorance. Our Christian life is designed to operate on the basis of an intelligent understanding of God's written revelation to us. And as we understand it, then we can place our faith in what God says, and then it will do the work that otherwise would never be able to be done. I was in a Bible conference not too long ago, and a young man came to me, and we were talking, and he was talking about, he'd been saved about 2 years, and he was talking about what he'd been discovering about the Christian life and about living the Christian life. And he was frustrated, frankly, in his experience. And as he began to share with me about some of the frustrations that he was having and the difficulties he was having in living for the Lord, an older brother came up and stood with us and was listening. And finally, the young man got to the place where he said, "You know, Brother Rick, it's just impossible for me to do this." And the older brother looked at him and he said, "No, Greg, it's not hard for you to do it. It's impossible for you to do it." And that's exactly right. Now, the Christian life is not hard to live. It's impossible to live. You'll never live it. I'll never live it. Nobody you ever know will live it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can live it. And God Almighty places His life in us when we trust Him, and then He effectively lives His life in us and through us as we take in the Word of God and walk by faith in what God has to say. You know, you need to know where you are spiritually. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 11 and following give you an idea of how to discern where you are spiritually. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "Of whom," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." They're hard of hearing. They don't receive the things well. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as need milk and not strong milk," strong meat rather. "For everyone that uses milk," now here's a definition. You can identify for yourself. I don't have to do it. You can figure out where you are. "Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby." My friend, the reason we teach the Bible here And the reason we keep going over the issues of right division is so that you won't be unskillful in the word of righteousness, so that you will learn to take the word of God and use it, because those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness, I didn't say unskilled in church operating. I didn't say unskilled in going to church and giving money and doing good and teaching Sunday school or even preaching. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. They're not able to go to the word of God and handle the word of God in a proper way. They're not able to rightly divide the word of truth based upon what God says in His word. They're babes. Now that's what the book says. You see, your Christian life isn't designed to operate on an unskilled basis. It's a life that's designed to operate on a clear understanding of what God Almighty's Word has to say. But strong meat belong to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their conscience exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, there's a difference between childishness and spiritual maturity. And childishness is evidenced not by a lack of busyness, but rather by a lack of skill in handling the Word of God. We can be busy. You can have all kind of religious externalism and all kind of religious activities in your life and never have the life of Jesus Christ being lived effectively through you, because the activities, the source of the activities is your own energy, your own drive or your own purpose or your own fears and your own guilt. You see, there's a great deal of difference between legalism, that is, performing certain activities in order to get something from God, the performance system that uses guilt and fear as motivators in order for you to gain the blessings from God and avoid the curses and the problems of disobedience. There's a great deal of difference between legalism, the desire to try to stop sin in your life by you doing something. Give me a law and I'll stop sin. Give me a rule and I'll go please God. That kind of a thing. And grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and when He did everything that God could ever require and ever did require and ever will require when He died there and was buried and was raised again the third day. And God has made Him to be unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We're made complete in Christ. The verse says that God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? If God's already given you His best, that is His Son, what could ever be withheld from us? Nothing. That's what grace is, this free gift system. It says where the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And being justified freely by His grace, just the free gift of God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Grace is tied to the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Grace isn't tied to your performance. It's not tied to church ordinances or commandment keeping or something you do or don't do. It's tied to what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It's tied to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that wonderful truth of our completeness and the fullness of what God has given us in His Son, that's where we stand today. We live, as far as God is concerned, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, you know, the course of the world are all kind of ages. They had the industrial age and the computer age today and all those kind of things. But from God's point of view, this is the age of grace. Because what God's doing today is dealing with us on the basis of His grace, on the basis of what He's done for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And that's why He's given us a Bible. And as members and participants in the dispensation of grace, we have a completed revelation from God, a completed Bible. We're the first people in all of human history that ever had that. And I don't mean people in the 90s. I'm talking about people in the dispensation of grace. God has completed His revelation and completed His word and given it to us, and there is absolutely no reason for us to be ignorant, because God has given us the word of truth, given us all that He ever wants us to know, and then taught us how to use it. That's what right division is all about. When we talk to you on the Bible study about rightly dividing the word of truth, we do that in order so you can understand that's how God's truth in His word is extracted and understood and then properly applied in the details of your life. Now this expression, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," is based on all that understanding. It's based on the fact that God wants you to grow to spiritual maturity by growing in your understanding of what it is He's revealed to us. Now, the Apostle Paul uses that expression about a half a dozen times. One of them is in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, been hindered, nobody hadn't been allowed to come yet, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now we've said to you on our study together a number of times that the Apostle Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles. When the Lord Jesus Christ came in His earthly ministry, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you have the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in these books, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the nation Israel. He was a minister of the circumcision. The uncircumcision, that is the Gentiles, were cut off. They were separated. There's a great middle wall of partition between them. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, the ground wasn't level at the foot of the cross at that when He died, because salvation, according to the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 22, is of the Jews. Back here, Jesus Christ came into His own, John chapter 1 says, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. They say, "We'll not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar." God raised Him from the dead. He spent 40 days with the apostles that He had chosen in here. There were He chose the 12 and trained them back here. He spends the time with them here. And then He ascends into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit back on those apostles whom He had chosen in the early Acts period here. And they go out. They heard Him preach back here. And they go out, God working with them and confirming the message of the kingdom back here that He preached. And this ministry in here, in fact, these apostles in Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19, were told that as far out as Acts chapter 11, they were going out preaching to none but the Jews only. And I remind you, as we've studied before, these men were not bigots and prejudiced and racist and all that kind of business. You know, there's all kind of bad vibes that go out about the apostles. These were men filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with faith, understood exactly what their commission from the Lord was back here, and they knew that it was to begin with the nation Israel, not because God didn't love all men, but because God's purpose and program and the prophetic program back here and everything He had made known to people up until that time was that through Abraham's multiplied seed out here, who trusted in their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true seed of Abraham, that it would be through Abraham's seed that the nations of the earth down here would be blessed. But my friend, there came a time when the circumcision ministry back here came to an end, and the fall of Israel took place, and God set the nation Israel aside, and Jesus Christ up here from heaven's glory reached down here and saved a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the Apostle. And it's through the ministry of the Apostle Paul in here that the body of Christ is formed. It's through the ministry that Jesus Christ from heaven gives to the Apostle Paul that the dispensation of grace is revealed. That is, there is a system of knowledge and information in your Bible that is called by Paul the mystery, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The word mystery means a secret. This information back here is the subject of prophecy. It's what was spoken about, preached about, made known, and proclaimed since God put man on the earth. Here's some information, and this information is written down in your Bible in the books of Romans through Philemon, the Pauline epistles. This information is called the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It was not preached about, not made known, not talked about until Jesus Christ from heaven's glory revealed it to the Apostle Paul and through him to you and me. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you, to send out to the Gentiles, Paul, in your Bible, is the initiator of the message of the grace of God to the Gentiles. From the time of Abraham, when the circumcision began, down to the time of Paul, the Gentiles were on the wrong side of the middle wall of partition and were cut out. And if they ever got anything from God, it's because they came to God through the nation Israel by blessing Israel or becoming a proselyte to the nation and becoming Jews. But now, Jesus Christ, how that by revelation, He, Christ, made known to me, Paul, the mystery which in other ages was not made known, as it is now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And that information has to do with the formation of the church, the body of Christ, in what is called the dispensation. It talks about the fellowship of the mystery that takes place in the dispensation of the grace of God. There are three common errors that are made, common mistakes and misplacements that are made in your Bible study. One is starting the Old Testament in Genesis, when the Old Testament really doesn't start till Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. The Old Testament is the Mosaic Law. The second one is to start the New Testament in the book of Matthew, when the New Testament cannot start until after the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 17 is very clear that a testament is a force after the death of the testator. The New Testament could not start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It couldn't start until after the cross work. That means the whole earthly ministry of our Lord is in the Old Testament. If I said to you, let's turn in our Old Testament to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, I would be right, exactly scripturally correct. We use the term New Testament, Old Testament, sometimes to refer to Genesis to Malachi's Old Testament, Matthew to Revelation as New Testament. We use that by way of accommodation, the Hebrew Bible, the Greek Bible. But technically speaking, scripturally speaking, the Old Testament doesn't end until over here, where the New Testament can't begin until at least the cross. And the third misplacement that's commonly made is by starting the dispensation of grace in the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost, rather than where it really begins with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, each time you do that, each time you make that little adjustment, things begin to be a little clearer to you. You begin to understand what the Old Covenant's about. It's about the nation Israel and the ministry given to them through Moses. You understand what the New Testament is about. It's about the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, especially for the nation Israel, so they can receive their kingdom. Then you understand what the dispensation of grace is all about, and you're not back here at Pentecost trying to carry over things and make the Pentecostal experience the norm for today, but rather you see that the doctrine for today is in the books of Romans through Philemon. Now, in this dispensation of grace in here where we are, God today is forming the church, the body of Christ. And Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that I wanted to go to you Gentiles at Rome and have some fruit among you as among other Gentiles. Paul doesn't want you to be ignorant, my friend, of the fact that he is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles, and that the inauguration, the beginning of the dispensation of grace in which we live today, comes with the ministry that Christ commits to him and through him to you and me. And what God's doing today is forming the church, the body of Christ. God is not forming the nation Israel today. God is not in the business of reclaiming real estate and trying to rebuild the earthly program today. What God's doing today is forming the church, the body of Christ, where believers are made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 6, he tells you what it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what the verse 9 talks about, and to make Paul's desire is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We're fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Paul says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid. This information was hid in God until it was now revealed through Paul. Ephesians 3:9 is very important. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. Now that's important to understand that. This information God Himself kept hidden until Christ revealed it to Paul in the middle part of the book of Acts. Now, what is that information? And what is it that God doesn't want us to be ignorant about? Well, Go to Galatians chapter number 2. There is a sevenfold oneness, a sevenfold fellowship that believers today have with the Lord Jesus Christ as members of the body of Christ. Now, you understand what it is to be part of a body. My hand, for example, I have two hands. One is my left hand. I'm right-handed. I write. You see me draw on the board. I write with my right hand. My left hand is not too skilled. It wears my wedding ring and doesn't do a whole lot of other things. When I eat with my right hand. Put your left hand in your lap, you know. My left hand, my right hand feeds me. My right hand could say, now look, I do all the work. I write. I use the fork, I use the spoon. Every now and then the left hand will hold the fork in order for the knife to cut it, but then it puts the fork over in the right hand to eat it with. I mean, I'm doing all the work. I don't think that left hand ought to get half the nourishment from the meal. And so my right hand says to my stomach, don't send any nourishment to the left hand. You know what happens? The left hand's going to get just as much as it needs, just like the right hand will. There's no partiality. There's an equality of members in the body. Now, I understand that, you know, you can cut my hand off and I can live. You cut my head off, I can't. I understand that. But the thing is, my right hand can't say to the left hand, look, you just hang around all the time. I don't want you here. Why? Because it's part of me. Now, if I go down to the grocery store and I go in, and my right hand reaches over and takes something and sticks it in my pocket, and I go out with it and I steal it, and the policeman stops me out on the parking lot and hauls me off to jail and stand in front of the judge, and the judge says, you're guilty, you're going to jail for 2 years. My left hand can't say then, wait a minute, I wasn't doing anything, I was just hanging around. The right hand did it. Send him to jail. Why? Left hand's going to go just like my right hand. Why? It's all part of the same body. To be a part of somebody's, to be a member in somebody's body makes you one with all the other members. There's an equality and a oneness. Well, to be made a member of the body of Christ is to be made a part of Him and to be made an equal part with all the other members of Him. That's why this sevenfold oneness is so precious. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, for I am crucified with Christ. You see, you and I have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were made one with Him, His crucifixion became our crucifixion. That wasn't Him hanging there simply, it was me. When God poured His wrath out against sin at Calvary, Jesus Christ didn't have any sin. I'm the one that had sin, and I'm crucified with Him. And when He hung the law there, listen, it was the wrath of the law against the wrath of God's law against my sin that was there. When it says that Christ was made a curse there, for cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. It was my curse that He was bearing. I'm crucified with Him. The depths of my sin have been dealt with. The againstness of the law has been dealt with. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3, Paul says, know ye not, don't you know, that as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you've been made one with Him by the Spirit of God, baptizing you into His body. And we're going to study more about that, that Spirit baptism. You've been baptized into His death. Not just that we were crucified with Him, but we're dead with Him. The old life is over with. And then we're buried with Him. It's put away. And then he says we're raised with Him. Oh, that's wonderful. Why, if we're buried with Him, then we've been raised with Him, quickened together with Him. The verse over there in Ephesians 5, chapter 2, verse 5 says, and you who were dead hath He quickened together. You know what it is to be quickened? It means to be given life, to be made alive. You understand, folks, He took my death and He gave me His life. J.C. O'Hare wrote a little poem many years ago, and he said, and it's got a truth in it that's important. He talked about Jesus Christ giving His life at Calvary for us, in order that when we trust Him, He might give His life to us, so that day by day He might live His life through us, and that's the key. We're quickened together. We've been made alive with Him, and then he says we're raised with Him. We've been exalted, and we've been caught up with Him, and we've been liberated from all the old life, and then we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. We've been made participants in the plan and the program of Almighty God for Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. That's wonderful. You know something, folks? When God saved you, if He has, when He saved me, He didn't just save me to keep me out of hell. And if you're saved today, He didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. And if you're not saved today, folks, the issue isn't just keeping you out of hell. The issue in your salvation is that God is going to do something through all eternity future through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when He saves us, He makes us a part of what He's going to do in all the ages to come out there through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to share in the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the way this thing ends is that we're caught up together to meet Him in the air. That's the way it ends. You see, everything here in the dispensation of grace has to do with making the believer one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the beginning of it all comes here with the ministry that Christ reveals to Paul. You won't go back there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Acts period. You won't go back to Genesis to Malachi and find out about this. You find out about this through Paul. May I say to you, my friend, the gospel of the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ committed to Paul is simply the message that Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, did everything to pay for all of your sins. He paid for them all. He did enough, and He did it for you. And if you'll trust Him, simply by your faith resting in what He did at Calvary, God will take you and place you in the living union with His Son and bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that instant. Put His life in you, and then He'll live in you. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you find out about that in the Word of God. We've got a free Bible study cassette tape we'd like to give you about this topic. If you'd write us, Dan's going to come in a minute and give you the address and the name and the number of the tape. You write us or call us on the phone number, and we'd be glad to give you this Bible study tape. We want to help you to understand what God's doing and to rejoice in it by His grace and for His glory. Until next time, thanks for listening. Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have that go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The World's Largest Denomination. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 203. That's tape offer number 203. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to put you in touch with gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.